This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Precision Aerial Ag Show is going on right now at the Farm Progress Show grounds in Decatur. Unmanned aerial systems are on display. There are demonstrations of them in action and also guest speakers that describe the many uses of unmanned aerial systems. Matt Bernard is with Illinois farmer-owned CropCopter and spoke about what people can expect to see at the Precision Aerial Ag Show.
You know, it's a pretty exciting time in agriculture. Who would have thought when they built this thing 5 years ago that it would be having a UAV exposition out in the field? So it's neat to see all the technology and neat to see all the familiar faces and really cool to be a part of it.
And tell me a little bit about your guys' company.
Yep, we are the only Illinois-based farmer-owned UAV company. And so we got our start about a year ago and just knew that this was going to be an emerging technology and wanted to be in it from the farmer perspective. So there's a lot of people that have been in the cinematography or other segments of it that were trying to adapt it to ag, but nobody in ag trying to adapt it to the fields. So we wanted to be the farmer perspective and the farmer voice out into it. And 12 months later, I think we're doing pretty good.
And let's just go over what the drones can do so far, because that is the biggest question I get is, what can these drones do?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, I joke with guys, it's kind of like owning a forklift or a backhoe, right? So you own it to pick up stuff or dig holes, but it ends up getting used for a lot of other different things. A UAV is exactly the same way. So right now, the UAVs that we offer and the ones that are being showed today are giving real-time picture quality video, doing a lot of ground truthing, NDVI or thermal imaging. You know, there's other things out here that are spraying and doing other different things. But the question more is, to a grower, how do you want to use it? And everything can be customizable by to there.
And when taking a look at these, there's a lot of questions as far as the technical aspect of them and how they work. And since they are flying machines, obviously one of those big questions is, how does wind factor in with it?
So, all right, I farm and I do all our spraying at home, and so, or at least a lot of it. And so if it's too windy to spray Roundup, it's too windy to fly a drone. And so that's probably not a great analogy, but I'm thinking every one of your listeners would probably get that. So they're extremely easy to fly, and just with a touch of common sense and some patience, and any reputable company, whether it's us or anybody else that are selling these things, spend 2 to 4 hours with you in your initial setup. You'd be way to, you'd be flying and finding new uses for it every day.
And what is the range on these things? How far away can they go from the person who's controlling it?
Well, it really depends on the setup. So there's a basic setup and then also a UHF setup where you have to have a ham license. But our basic setup, it has a mile and a half range. The UAV, or if you go to UHF, it has up to a 10-mile range.
All right. And from what I hear, price ranges on UAVs can vary widely. So what would you say is kind of a middle of the ground price range that farmers can be looking at for what they want?
Well, I think you need to understand what a complete package is. So there's a lot of people out there that it's kind of like buying just a cheeseburger at McDonald's and you don't get the full meal deal, right? So you know what you're buying first. And the range can go anywhere from probably as cheap as $3,500 for a kit all the way up to $50,000. But this is one of those things where you got to ask yourself a question. Do you want to buy it once, right? Or do you want to try to buy something that's hobby grade and put it on their farm? We've learned the lesson the hard way from some of our R&D that it's better to buy it once right the first time.
Good point. And as far as farmers who have these implemented so far, have you gotten feedback on what they're finding most helpful about them or what their favorite thing about them is?
Well, I think it just prompts curiosity. So we always tell folks that if you think you owning a UAV is a silver bullet, you're madly mistaken. It's a tool in your toolbox, and if you use it right, it actually will probably cause you to question more things than fewer things, because you start to see stuff from a different perspective. And so that opportunity for a grower to see his farm from a different view, literally, and then to be curious about, is that, where's that water issue coming from, or what's happening? Why did that particular hybrid not pollinate as fast as everything else is? That's one of the things you can see right now. Different areas of the field tasseling faster than other areas. So it's extremely neat to see some of that activity. And so just the curiosity portion of it. So then every grower then goes a different direction with that. But just to see a grower that is naturally curious about a crop and an eternal optimist, just get a little bit of gas thrown on that fire. It's fun to be around.
It sounds like it's quite an interesting time, and that is a good point, that it's not necessarily a solution to a problem, but it is a way to find out what the problems are.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's folks that'll claim that it's going to cure the epoxy in the Mississippi or hunger in Africa. I mean, we all know that's not the case, right? What it's going to do is going to make us better stewards of our land. So fix problems that exist, feel good about problems that are not, maybe forward contract or know how what condition our crop is, fix water issues. Ultimately, those things might yield to us being better stewards of the environment or more profitable growers, but it's going to be different from every person in each operation.
Now tell me a little bit about how flying these works. How close can you get to the crops? Can you hover over them? Things like that.
Yeah, to be honest with you, you can get as close as you can. So all our systems are manual, be able to be flown manually as well as automated. So a lot of folks end up doing an automated flight. But it controls the height, the altitude. So if you want to put that at 8 feet, it's going to fly at 8 feet. And if you want to fly at 392 feet, it's going to fly that. We keep everything below 400 feet. But depending on what you're trying to do, that's, we'll go back to exactly what ultimately you get to use or how high or how low. If you're doing basic scouting, we fly higher. If we're identifying problems, we get as close to the crop as we can.
And for the people who are not able to make it out here today and see these machines firsthand, can you kind of describe a couple of them to me, like dimensions and things like that?
Yeah, I would say that if you took two shoeboxes and put them together, that's the small size of one. You know, those are going to be less than 2 pounds. And then if you took a 6-foot table, and that's how big our bigger ones are going to be. And then other companies have even bigger ones than that. The question more is about what your need is. The big thing is most of them are fairly light and probably a little bit sturdier built than the average person would think.
All right, very good. And as far as what the farmers are looking for, have you noticed one particular thing that they're looking for, or is it still just an exploratory field?
Growers are looking for people to be honest with them and to say what it'll do and what it won't. And they know that this is a little bit potentially of a fad. And in any new product, there's a hype curve, if you will, where it's a really, really good idea and everybody wants to look at it. And following that hype curve, it goes down to a little bit of a plateau, and then it's whatever's real ends up happening. And so right now we're kind of at the front of that hype curve, right? And so growers are just looking for somebody just to shoot them straight, call a spade a spade. And whether it be right or wrong, we're not going to sell anything that we wouldn't use on our own farm. That gives us the most unique perspective in the industry. And I would tell you that we really truly believe, whether it's a crop copter or something else, the best place you can learn or see something is on your own farm. So if a person is interested and thinks that remotely any possibility of something like this has a future on their farm, call ourselves up or call somebody else up and ask for them to come do a flight. They should teach them how to do it, get some imagery on their own farm. And once you have seen it firsthand and seen some of the benefits, now all of a sudden you're not reading stuff on the internet or Twitter, right? You're seeing firsthand. And that's growers, that's in the field is where growers make their decision. And that's where we want to be.
And if growers want to contact you guys to kind of get a demonstration of how these things work, how do they go about that?
Yeah, they can contact us via the website. It's Chief Agronomics, so chiefagronomics.com. And they can call a contact information on that side of that nature.
Again, that was Matt Bernard with Illinois Farmer-Owned Crop Copter. One of the many questions farmers have on unmanned aerial systems is how exactly they can be useful on their farms. Terry Brazzi is an Ag Geospatial and Technology professor at Kirkwood Community College. He is one of the guest speakers at the Precision Aerial Ag Show, speaking on whether these systems are a toy or a tool.
Well, the UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, is what they've been called since 2002, 1997, when they first started coming around. And the FAA, however, has deemed that the proper terminology is UAS, unmanned aerial systems, because it refers not only to the vehicle, but also to the processing software, the flight planning software, which is a complete part of a system.
And these UASs are kind of new into the agricultural field. Some people are debating whether they're a fad or not. And your presentation kind of focused on whether they were a toy versus a tool. So can you talk a little bit on toy versus tool?
A toy is any type of technology, gadgets that farmers may want to use on their farm. But it ends up being just not part of their decision-making process. It just becomes something that is maybe attached to the tractor or something that they use because it's cool or because the neighbors are using it. A tool, on the other hand, is something that is actually used for some type of economic or environmental benefit, something that they can actually produces value to their operation, something that they can base a decision on.
And I think so far that is one of the problems that farmers are encountering when it comes to using these, is how can they use it as a tool on their farm? How can it be of benefit to them? And you covered some of those points.
The key thing is that the imagery that they get from a UAS has to be something of value, something that is georeferenced, infrared, something that is going to show crop stress, and something that they can then layer or put into a geographic information system to try to determine the cause of it. And that's one thing that I'll be stressing in my talk tomorrow, is that the infrared will identify stress. It doesn't identify what the stress is. So what you have to do is somehow come up with a causal or a cause and effect relationship between the infrared and what your crop is doing.
So how can people really expect to get a return on investment if they purchase one of these systems? How can they expect it to really help them in their farm and better management tools?
I've always liked to say that the farmers have always been interested in collecting data. And this is just another way of collecting data. And data is what gives the farmer the power to make decisions. So as an example, if we can identify a specific area of stress, for example, lack of nitrogen, using the UAS system, then it's up to the farmer to make a decision on, is that stress level at a point where we should be applying additional nitrogen? Is it going to reduce our yield? And that's not something the UAS system is going to tell him. That's something that he's going to have to make a decision based on the information the UAS provides. And so it's that specific type of information and the decision the farmer makes that's going to either save him money or going to increase his yield and increase the income.
A better way to look at the fields, get a different aspect of it to see what's really going on out there. And another example you gave was downed corn. And there have been a few storms around Illinois lately, and some farmers unfortunately have downed fields, so I imagine that could probably be useful this year.
Crop insurance, crop risk management, I think has always been a very useful, should make better use of geospatial technologies. And the UAS system is something that I think they've identified and will be using probably this year.
And if you had one piece of advice to give out to farmers out there when it comes to looking into these UASs, what piece of advice would that be?
I think it relates back to the toy versus the tool. Even though their goal may be to use this as a tool, they should be prepared to use it as a toy first. Learn about it, learn how it's being used and how they can best put it to use. And coming to an event like this where they can learn from other people is an excellent way of start doing that.
Again, that was Terry Brazzi, Ag, Geospatial, and Technology Professor at Kirkwood Community College. The Precision Aerial Ag Show is going on today until 5 o'clock in the afternoon at the Farm Progress Show grounds in Decatur. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.